Morning, OCF. I was going to tell a joke, but I don't have any. I've got a lot of jokes, but I won't. But before I start and just tell you a little bit about myself and why I'm up here and what I have, kind of my vision and just a little bit about me, again, I just want to piggyback off Kim this morning. All the moms in the room, thank you so much. Personally, I have a mom, and she's the best. And I think everybody thinks their moms are the best, and they really, if they're here, if they're away, it doesn't matter. Your mom was a huge part of your life. So just respect them for that and love them, and I'll just get right into it. My mom obviously had a huge impact on me growing up. Just want to start from the beginning, kind of where I started. As many of you know, my name's Nate Trujillo. I'm kind of a resident local, like a pseudo-local. My dad's side of the family grew up here. So been in Ouray, Western Slope native for many years, 1981. Born here, raised here, left, came back. I was blessed to grow up in a Christian home. I don't know, that sounds really kind of like something somebody would just say, but I really was. I was really blessed to grow up in a Christian home where my mom's side of the family, my grandpa was a Southern Baptist preacher. And it was an interesting culmination because my dad, obviously growing up here, Hispanic, you were Catholic. 12 siblings or 11 siblings, I always forget, but there's so many of them, right? Half the town's related to us. So it was an interesting culmination, but when my parents met, my dad kind of adopted and transitioned over to kind of the Southern Baptist faith, and my parents really gave us room, right? They grew, they wanted us to grow up in a Christian home where it was known, church was a part of our life, dealing with other people and interacting with other people. They gave us room. They gave us room to figure things out. They weren't pretty stifling like my mom's upbringing was very, very Southern Baptist. No cards in the house. You did not go to dances. You did not go to swimming pools. Like, it was Southern Baptist, right? So I think that kind of influenced a lot of how we grew up and our upbringing in the church. Church was a huge, huge part of our lives. I loved going to church. I loved going to youth group. Just going to church. We were in the same church for many years. Rosemont Baptist down in Montrose. I was there from probably the age of 5 to when I left, 17. Just that influence, about the age of 9, I became Christian. So 9 years old was the day and the time. I know exactly where I was sitting at. I knew exactly what I was doing. When I decided Jesus was the Lord of my life, that's how you become a Christian. That is the day I asked him in my heart. One of the things that was really important to me was I wanted, as well as my other brothers, 2 other brothers, we had our grandpa baptize us. So that was really, really special to us. Now, just because I became a Christian at the age of 9, there was a lot more to learn. There was a lot more to do. I made the call, but the journey from then until now has been, ups and downs. I mean, I've grown. I say we because it's not just me now, it's us. You've grown a lot. So let me tell you a little bit about that, about the journey. Like I said, raised in a Christian home, grew up in the church, grew up here, grew up in Montrose, had a lot of good times. My journey really, really, really started to materialize and got really serious at the age of 17, and that's when I left. That's when I left the house. I went in the military. A little bit more serious because your parents aren't around. It's you. Nobody's telling you what to do. Nobody's there. It's just you and God, and you're accountable for you and other people. And it kind of, at the age of 17, went in the military, and I found myself at my first duty station, and I was on fire. I was on fire for God to the point where I almost couldn't sleep. And I know that sounds a little odd, but it was a little bit dangerous, and I'll tell you why. And this is one of my learning lessons: is I didn't know how to control it. I wouldn't say I was a new Christian, but I was just out there in full force. And I was so on fire for him that I didn't know how to control it. I pushed some people away because I learned one of my very few hard lessons in life, which is it's not our responsibility to save people. It's God's responsibility. And I pushed that a little bit too much, and I'm afraid I pushed people away. So that was really kind of an awakening for me of what our mission is, what our purpose is, Couple months later, I met this woman at church. Looks a lot like her. And that is a whole nother story. I have 3 to 5 minutes, so I won't get into it, but we have lived life with Jesus, for Jesus. I was 19 and single. Now we've been married for a lot of years. We've got 2 kids. Gabe's up here, Charlie's there. Thank you both for being here. We've been all over the world. We spent time in California. We spent time in Japan. We spent time in Washington. We've been through a lot of stuff. I make the joke, but I'm serious. We've lived 12 lives already. And the one thing that has always been constant is Jesus and living for him and being on his path. And that is something, as you live and you have kids and you experience things, and everybody in this room can, I'm sure you understand and you would agree with me, it's an up and down. You learn things. There's different stages. There's different kind of seasons of life, you know, and you just kind of embrace them and look back and learn. One of my most difficult phases, if not the most difficult time in my life, was around 2015, 16, when we were living in Washington State. Loved it. Kids were small. Charlie was about a junior in high school. Gabe was in 7th grade. And my wife came to me 3 years prior and said, I want to move. I want to leave. I want to move to Colorado. And you got to remember, you got to understand, at this time, we were in Washington State for 10 years. The kids were doing really good. I was really, really happy with my job. I was on an upward trajectory. And she wanted me to give that up and move to Colorado, back hometown, with no job. It was a 3-year debate. It was a 3-year battle. But we prayed, we prayed, we prayed a lot. We debated a lot. And I finally conceded, and to the disappointment of my kids, because they didn't talk to me for a week, we moved back here. And that was the beginning of one of the darkest but the best times in my life. And I say darkest because I learned a lot of things. It was a dark time for me because I went from a very successful career, living in a nice place, to being reliant on God and his path, where he wants us to go, where he wants to put us. And there were 2 things that I prayed for. I still remember it was a very, 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 very dark period of my life where I was mad. I was not just mad, I was angry at a lot of things, because I went, again, from a very successful career, very good life, to here where I grew up and I loved, couldn't get a job. I was on God's timing, and that's hard. That's hard. It's all good when it's going your way and everything's cool and you're checking off the boxes. But when it's not, you're having to wait. You're having to wait for those opportunities. You're having to wait for that answer, and it just seems like deafening silence. That was difficult. So two things I learned. Be careful when you pray for patience, because it's not automatic, right? Patience isn't just something that's given to you. Chances are you're going to be confronted with opportunities to grow your patience. Similar to that, I made the decision, and I still can't truly put into words, but this was the time in my life when I decided to give up my decision-making, and I know that sounds odd, but I essentially gave my life over and said, put me where you want me. I didn't give up all free will, but this was the intersection of where I still had control over the things I controlled. But I gave the rest over to God and said, you put me where you want me. And I will tell you what, one thing that is always consistent and will always be true is when that happens, you will never look back and say, man, you know what, that was a bad path. I don't think God put me where he wanted me to. Looking back, I'm here now, you know, and it's not a mistake. So I appreciate that. I appreciate the struggles, because they say, you know, true development is won through struggles. It's not when everything's going your way. It's when you got to fight for it and you really got to look inside. Sure, I'm looking down at my notes. The journey that's been known as our lives has been up and down, you know. But again, as I mentioned before, the one thing that is constant is Jesus does not change. He changes you. So that is something that I've really learned, you know, before, not even before becoming a Christian, just before things, you know, the seasons of your lives, you focus on different things. It's either school, work, it's kids, it's sports. And as you transition through the seasons of your lives, things become a little bit more, I guess, in focus, or the things that you had put importance on aren't really important anymore. So that's one of the biggest things with my life, especially now in the last 2 to 3 years specifically, but moving back to Colorado has really kind of changed me a little bit. the kids growing up, moving back here to Ouray. The last 3 years has really, really kind of changed the game. Jesus, God's really been putting some things on my mind and my heart. I don't think anybody in this room can deny it. The last 3 years, starting with 2019, 2020, the game's changed. You know, everything. Everything has changed. And it's not in a good way. You know, I don't think we're going on an upward trajectory. Social media, kids, politics, economy, world events. And I think due to that, God's really put kind of a fire in me. Because I love the saying, be part of the solution, a part of the problem. And sometimes part of the problem is just sitting back and not doing anything. So he's really kind of lit that fire in me, awakened a little bit in me. Because I see all these things happening, and the most devastating of all, I think, is the attack on us, the attack on the church, where the hypocrites are out and they're in full force. You know, the division. That's exactly, Satan is getting his way. He's rolling in. The world's not falling apart, it's falling in line. And that's kind of why when I was asked for this, or asked to be an elder, I thought about it and prayed about it. Nobody ever wakes up and says, this is what I want to do. I want to be a leader. I want to be I want to do all these hard things. I think it's something you're called, and I think every single person in this room is called to be part of that. I think everybody has gifts, so I pray that, you know, we come together as a church and kind of solidify as a body, as a group, because like I said before, Satan's number one goal, society's number one goal is to separate us, to divide us, to get us fighting internally, fighting amongst ourselves. And that's what he's wanting to do. And it's a lot of churches will fall apart because of that. And this area, this church, kind of holds a special place in my heart. This area does, obviously, because my family's from here. But this is one of the few churches that we went. My wife and I came not too long after Paul and his wife came here. I think it was last Easter. We attended for the first time. You know, and this is one of the first churches where we just came. It's not the brightest, it's not the biggest, it's not the snazziest, you know, but it just felt home. It felt like this is where we want to be and this is where we want to serve. And one of those other things that God's really put on my heart is to serve locally, be committed and be involved in your area. And this is home, so this is where we're going to be. And Ouray is ripe. Ouray is ripe. They need something like this here. You know, they need something that they just need Jesus. And I think this church specifically has the opportunity, and you guys have great potential. We have great potential to share that. You know, this isn't a sleepy church with an old pastor that just came out of retirement and he's just biding his time for the next 2 to 3 years. And typically that's what you've seen here in Ouray, is people are like, hey, we need somebody to come in. Can you come in for 2 years? And it happens. But there's some great things happening, and there's some great things happening in this town. It's growing. And I want us to be part of that. I think God's calling us to step up and change, you know, change politics, change this environment. I'm getting the time button, so I apologize. I could talk all day, but I again appreciate your support, and I am humbled, 100% humbled and honored that I would even be considered for this position. So I'm here to serve you, to serve the church, to serve Jesus, and get the word out. And that's it. That's why I'm here. So I hope I could be part of the solution, not part of the problem. in closing, I just want to say I think helping and loving people can make all the difference today. People are hurting. People are hurting, and they're looking for something. And it's not in social media. It's not a quick fix. It's not the news. It's not politicians. It's Jesus. He's the answer. All right. Y'all want to pray with me? Exactly. Lord Jesus, I come before you in this body, humbled to be called for this responsibility. I pray that this body of believers will come together for your purpose. I pray that each one will utilize their special gifts and their talents to further your kingdom. I pray for unity and not division. And I understand that, yes, we may not all see things in the same perspective or eye to eye, but that's okay. We don't need to. We're not meant to be.